Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tuesday is a great day, and let me tell you why. We're going to be busy here for a lot of reasons. We just came from Sean Miller's weekly press conference, and it was like talking. It was like Sean Miller unplugged. He was fantastic.
Oh, wonderful.
Very brutally honest, very candid on his team and his thoughts on what's going on. He did say that he's not sure if Jeter's going to be available. He did not practice yesterday. It's day to day, as you are, Bob, and as I am, we're always day to day. You know how that goes.
Sure.
I could be traded for a player to be named later and a broken bat. But Jeter, we're not sure what's going to happen on Thursday. We'll see if he goes today, but he did not practice yesterday. And then we talked. I was there for the first time in about a week or so, about what was going on psychologically, with him, with the team. You just don't turn into be good shooters overnight. Things like that. He knew this was going to happen in October because if you're not a good shooting team, guess what? You're not a good shooting team. You just don't go and practice on Tuesday, take 1,000 shots, and become a good shooting team.
Are you sure?
Positive. You don't become a radio host in 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Or overnight.
Yeah. I know people that have done it.
You have?
Yeah, you.
I'm running out of time. And the tick is going. But it was a lot of good stuff. And then we're going to talk a little about basketball today. Probably play some of that Sean Miller press conference because people love it. It was good. And then we're going to have some U of A softball players. One for sure, Alyssa Palomino, one of the better players on the team. She's going to call in about 1:32, talk about them. They start their season under the new view of that Hillenbrand Stadium, or it's really nice. They have about another month to finish it, maybe about 3 weeks to finish. Coming along. Have you ever been there? Had you been to the old one?
No, I haven't.
Now you can't compare it to anything, but it's going to be fantastic. Nice. Kind of like a Taj Mahal of softball.
Put a lot of money in it?
Put a lot of money. I think less than $2 mil.
Wow.
Less than $2 million. I don't know if that's a lot of money these days for that type of stuff, but $2 million is $2 million. Hey, if I had it,
you could buy a nice house with $2 million.
I had it, I wouldn't be talking to you now, Bob. I'd be on the beach.
You would be hanging out with the Gronkowski family going, I'm so glad to be a part of this family.
I would. Hey, did you want to buy a shaker? Here it is. Yeah, cool. Oh, so that's the first hour with them. And then in the second hour, we'll probably listen to more of Sean Miller because he went about 20, 25 minutes. He went long today. It was good. And then we're going to have the women's golf coach, Coach Ionel, is going to call in, I think about 2 o'clock, and we're going to talk about their upcoming season and how it is to live life as a national champion. So we're real busy today. I'm pretty excited.
Did you ask some questions of the coach, by the way?
I did. You could hear my sorry voice on there. Mine was more of the psychological effects of this team after getting beat pretty badly twice. He said it's been painful the last couple of days, you know, and he was asked a question from a Phoenix reporter, a good friend of mine, who I'll have on the show on Thursday, Scott Bordeaux. He's with the Atlanta Athletic. And, you know, when did he think this is all, when he took over the program, when did it start to kind of build on him? He says, well, since day one.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, this thing ain't an easy job.
Right.
The caveat to this, he's getting paid a lot of money.
Sure, sure.
You know, there's a cushion to fall on.
And I'm assuming that even if, as bad as they are this year, if they have a horrible season next year, is his job still good? Or is that's kind of hard to say, is it not?
Well, that's a hypothetical that probably will not happen. And I say that because this year they'll end up maybe, 20 and 12, I don't know what it is, 20 and 12, whatever it's going to be. Next year they have a great recruiting class coming in, the number one recruiting class. So your hypothetical, your question, won't happen because they're not going to be terrible.
But Steve Rivera just said a few weeks ago, you can't ever say they'll definitely be great next year.
Correct.
They'll really be good next year.
Correct.
You're just saying they won't be horrible next year.
Correct. You can't, they're not going to be horrible. They're not going to be, Steve Rivera said, I don't even know what's going to happen on Wednesday, Bob. I don't look that far ahead.
Well, But I brought it up next year saying, hey, I'm looking forward to next season. And,
As you should.
I remember you going, hey, now don't get ahead of yourself there.
Well, no, true.
Because I'm just wondering how good his job is. I don't want him to go anywhere. Don't get me wrong. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Do you want me to tell you another marriage analogy?
No, please don't. I get you just depress me. I feel so bad for you when that happens.
That's where I wanted to go with it. I just think that you worry about today because that's all you can control. And maybe Thursday, if Cheater comes back, which, you know, my best guess is that he's probably not, but that's just me guessing. And I shouldn't be guessing because I might be wrong. But he didn't practice yesterday. Who knows if he'll practice today?
What do we got? 8 games left? 6, 8?
About in the conference. I think we have a little bit more than 9. We're not at the halfway point right now, are we? 5-3, something like that. I think we're almost at the halfway point.
Oh, almost into February.
This next game. So yeah. But it's in the Pac-12. So
all right.
And then they have the Pac-12 tournament. He talked about that, how maybe they can go on a run. And realistically, anywhere from the top, the 10 teams in the conference, could win the tournament, the Pac-12 tournament.
10 teams in the conference.
Yeah, there's 2 bad ones that probably couldn't, I'm not going to include them.
Okay.
So 10 of them could if they went on that special run that happens once in a while. You never know. They could win the tournament, and then they get the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament.
So
I've seen bigger things happen, like 1997.
Okay.
When they went and they won the tournament.
But when he said we could go on a run at the tournament, nobody giggled, right?
Everybody behaved themselves. We're the media members. We don't giggle like that. We're not supposed
to. You're professional.
We're professional. That's skeptical or that's debatable.
Coach, I am not saying anything bad, Coach. I want you to stay. Don't get me wrong. I'm just playing the devil's advocate here because other people have brought it up. Not me.
The funny thing about it is, this is not the funny thing about it. Sean has been in the community almost 10 years now, and the guy who I mentioned earlier, Scott Berto, asked him about, what does he hear in the community when he's out and about?
What a great question.
Sean doesn't do that. He works 24/7 basketball, so I'm sure that he doesn't hear a whole lot. No one's going to really say, hey, you stink or whatever, because they're not going to do that.
Right.
They're going to say, hey, go get him, coach, we're hanging in there, coach. We're going to be very positive. But those same people could be at their computer.
Right.
This team sucks. Whatever.
He's got to go online.
Yeah, he's too disciplined. He probably doesn't, but he has people do it for him and tells them, gets the temperature of the people from other people. But, you know, come on, he's a very bright guy. He's a very bright guy. He knows what he has, and he knows how good this team is, and it's not very good right now. And guess what? And I've said this before, Sean Elliott isn't coming through those doors. Mike Bibby's not coming through those doors, and nobody else like Gilbert Arenas is coming through those doors.
And it sounds like not even Jeter's coming back anytime soon.
That's a good one. That's a good transition. We'll see. They're going to need everybody because ASU is not a bad team this year. Mm. They have not played to the expectations after beating Kansas earlier this year. That was a huge win, and they've kind of hit the skids and recovered, hit the skids, recovered. But that's the kind of ASU team we've known for years.
Do you think ASU could beat Kansas this week?
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being honest.
The good thing Arizona's not Kansas.
Yeah.
But, you know, that happens a lot, too. You know what? Let's go to break here real quick because I want to see if they have the Sean Miller press conference so we can pay a portion of that before the softball team comes back, and then we can play the entirety of the press conference later. I'm Steve Rivera. This is Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. We'll be back after this break.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink 3 or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection,
ability,
friendship,
escape, independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injury,
tears,
death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, the John C. Scott Political Forum.
The John C. Scott Show, heard weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming. But then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on the arts.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, the host here on Eye on the Ball on 10:30 a.m. I was just at Sean Miller's press conference about an hour ago or so, and he went for 25 minutes. It was 25 great minutes of Sean Miller talking about his team. I call it Sean Miller Uncut, very candid on what his team is. Let's play some of that now. Thank you, Bob.
The shooting struggles this weekend. In your mind, is that an easy thing to fix?
We work to get game shots and record those shots, making sure that our players, you know, are constantly shooting the ball in the areas that they get in games. And, you know, that's something that, from a peace of mind perspective, we started a long time ago, and we continue to do that. We did that in yesterday's practice, and we'll do it again here today.
What's Jason's status, John?
You know, I really don't know. He didn't practice yesterday. You know, I think it's really his call, you know, discomfort, pain, and what he can tolerate, how much better it's getting. I do think he's making progress, but, you know, I don't know what that means, whether he doesn't play against ASU and is able to play next week against the Washingtons or beyond.
How difficult is it to prepare for him not being in after months of having him in for a long time?
But, you know, when a key player gets injured, and I'll go to the Oregon State game, I've seen it many, many times, both when it happens against you, but also when it happens to your own team, that, you know, it's kind of a right now situation, and guys can rally and do the best that they can, kind of rise to the challenge. And I really think that happened when Chase went down early in the game against Oregon State. Bigger picture is when the other team now knows that he's not going to be playing, and you start to look at the different roles that everybody really has from start to finish, it affects a lot of different things, you know, not just him being there or not being there, but everybody kind of has a different role, different seat on the bus, different expectations. You know, when you get ready to sub, you move to a different player than you otherwise would have. So it definitely it affects the whole. But, you know, we're not the only team that is going through injuries or an injury to a key player, and it's up to us to respond and do the best we can.
When you lose five starters off last year's team, three are in the NBA, and then lose out a couple other guys that you thought were going to be in your squad, did you have to either lower your expectations or change the way you coach this year's team?
Yes and no. I think at the beginning of April, you know, we really didn't have a team. You know, we lost our entire recruiting class, and we really fought hard to get Brandon Williams here. You know, just for a second, think if he wasn't a part of this year's team, you know, what it would have looked like from start to finish. Thank goodness, you know, he came back to us, and, you know, right now he's, I would say, really a bright, a shining light on our team. You know, his performance right now is probably the one performance that he continues to grow and get better. And even this weekend, I know against USC, he didn't make a lot of shots, but I thought he played really well. And then against UCLA, he put it all together. So so I would start right there. We were fortunate to field the guys that we had. And, you know, I think I've said this a lot in the offseason is, you know, the recruiting class that DeAndre was a part of. He did his part, and then he left. And, you know, Emmanuel Acott, Brandon Randolph, Alex Barcelo, Ira Lee, that group of guys, you see it all the time when they're here as a young player, freshman. Sometimes they're at the mercy of the team they're on, and maybe they don't have as big of a role as they would have liked. But that following year, you know, they get a bigger opportunity, and they have a bigger role, and they improve, and they embrace it. And so much of our team's success this year to this point and moving forward is the performance of that group, you know, that we can keep their confidence up, that they grow and improve and learn from their bigger opportunity. And because of our circumstances, you know, that's the group that we're really calling on more now than maybe we otherwise would have, for sure. But, you know, I think to answer your question, you know, completely, you know, we try as a coaching staff to coach these guys the best we can. There are sometimes, you know, what's in the cards and what isn't. But I think the expectations of Arizona are always going to be extremely high, and we owe that to everybody to meet those.
And just as a follow-up, if you don't mind, you do have the number one recruiting class coming in next year. Do you see that then, I don't, whatever you want to call it, turnaround happening pretty quickly given what you have coming in next year?
You know, I think so. You know, we're not there yet, but I'm excited about that group for sure. I also don't think that that group will just end there. You know, I think being able to add one more player this spring, if not more than one, whoever that could be, it could be a transfer that's not able to play but able to practice, kind of what Chase Jeter did a year ago. Could be a grad transfer who's eligible right away, or junior college player, international, even a high school player. But we clearly understand, you know, in a year from one to the next at Arizona, usually we've had a class of five. And I think that number will only increase as, you know, more transfers around the nation are happening.
One more thing on Chase, I was just wondering, is that a pain tolerance thing then with him? And, or is there a chance, if he plays, is the concern that it could get worse again, or could he have more spasms, like that kind of situation? Or,
you know? I really can't answer that other than, you know, we're going to do what's best for Chase. And whenever he has the opportunity to practice or play, then we'll take that next step.
What was the mood at practice yesterday?
You know, we had a good practice. You know, the mood's not happy-go-lucky. You know, we got blown out twice in L.A. You know, nobody knows that more than us, and things aren't good, you know, right now. So, you know, it's up to us to fix those things and improve and be ready to go. Our effort is something we can control, and our preparation, the details of the things that we want to do in a game, we could control that. You know, when a guy shoots a shot, can't control that. And so I think, you know, for us, it's a little bit of both. But yesterday went really well from our team's perspective. Guys competed hard, and we had a good practice.
At what point do you start wondering, or if you do, about the psychology of the sport, where it might get into their head that you have to keep them up and make sure everything's going to be okay and stuff like that? Mm.
Yeah, no, I think it's already in their head to some degree. And, you know, we're trying to be the most positive coaching staff and team that we can be, and also at the same time realistic. You know, one thing about a player, you know, they appreciate the truth. And the truth is if you've missed 15 of your last 18 shots, that's a tough pill to swallow, you know. Doesn't mean you're going to make the next five. You can miss, you know, the next 8, 10. So we have that going around right now. And, you know, I think the one thing is to really work on it, making sure we're taking good shots, you know, being able to play through misses. There's more to the game than just shooting the ball. But I think the toll that it takes on a group when you're constantly coming off of a missed shot, it puts a lot of pressure on your defense, puts a lot of pressure on guys to keep pushing and playing a great effort. It's nice sometimes when a ball can go in that, you know, that's encouraging. That allows you to feel good about the effort you now have to put forth on defense.
About the toll it's taken on the players. You've won a lot of games here. What kind of toll has this season, or maybe this last weekend, taken on you?
You know, this from day one, 10 years ago, it's taken a toll on me. You know, it's a tough task in tall order, high expectations, and, you know, we're working hard to meet those expectations every day.
What's the toughest part of dealing with that, where there are kind of daily expectations to win and keep that high level?
You know, I think just to win every game. It's not okay to lose. It isn't. That's all part of it. I don't think anybody expects to go 40-0 every season. But when you lose, you want to learn from it, bounce back, be better because it happened, and be the best team that you can. You know, losing's not fun for anybody. I'm no exception.
Do you get on the community much? I'm curious what the fans' reaction to you and whenever they might encounter you. Are they understanding given what you've gone through the last several months? Are they angry with?
You know, I don't know. I think that fans, they're allowed to have their own reaction. I'm sure a lot of them are angry. I'm sure a number of them are upset. There's quite a few that are very, very supportive. And that's the great part about being a fan. You can really be who you want to be.
Oh, there you have it. I think that's only about 10 minutes of him. Actually, just about 10 minutes of him. So what we're going to do is go to break, come back on the other side, probably get a call from the UA softball team and Alyssa Palomino calling in to talk about this season. And then we'll probably end up talking to or listening to Sean Miller the rest of the way at some point in the next hour. But I'm sure that you've already kind of tell that he was kind of being very honest about his situation, the team situation, and what's ahead. He even gets better than this after a few more minutes. So let's go to break, Bob, and come back on the other side. You're listening to 1030 The Voice here with Steve Rivera.
It can be difficult raising your children, managing careers, and taking care of your parents. But what happens when they require a professional level of care? Then it's time to consider the Oasis at Fellowship Square, Tucson. There, your loved ones will find assisted living apartments with all the amenities of home, a customized service plan of care, along with a full calendar of social, cultural, and recreational activities. Call for a free tour and complimentary lunch at 886-5537. Online at fellowshipsquaretucson.org.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, the John C. Scott Political Forum.
The John C. Scott Show, heard weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley, Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution, working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection,
ability,
friendship,
excitement, control, independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injury,
tears,
death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI.
We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Steve Rivera, host of the show. And on the phone, we have Alyssa Palomino. Are you there, Alyssa?
Yes. Hi. Good. How are you?
Fine. Good to hear from you. Great to hear from you. How excited are you guys about the start of the season?
We are so excited. You know, been working hard all fall and throughout the January. And, you know, we're just ready to go and hope this 10 days goes by super fast.
How is that the palace you're going to be playing in look?
Oh, it looks amazing, and it's not even done yet, and it already looks amazing. So we're excited to see what the finished product looks like.
How is the hitter going to like that place?
I think a hitter is going to love it. I mean, it was a great spot for a hitter to begin with. So, you know, we're excited to see how it feels when this new stadium's done.
Right, right. More fans, at least you assume more fans, and you guys already have a great group of fans who watch you every day. They'll be happy to be there and watch you guys. How do you go into this year after having a fantastic last year?
You know, I go in with the same mindset and just think, like, go in game by game and not think about what happened in the past or what's going to happen next. I just go in every day and, you know, focus on that one day and we'll see where it goes.
Do you, after a season you had, and obviously you've been playing most of your life as a little girl to now, do you go in after the season, I got to take more cuts, got to field more balls, what do you go in to get better?
You know, I go on the same, take my cuts where I think I need it. You know, if I'm struggling, I'll for sure get in there more and do more cuts. But I always try to keep it simple, and I've learned that sometimes, you know, more is not always better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes less is, like, the best I can do. So I, you know, go in there, keep it simple, and try not to overthink everything.
I was going to say that if you don't overthink, how does the psychology of the sport play a part in your life?
It's a big thing, you know. I can't go in overthinking, and it's funny because I am a psychology major.
Oh, wow.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot, you know, about the mind and, like, what can happen, you know, if I am overthinking and when I'm, you know, playing too anxious and I'm not settled down, I know, like, I'm not going to have a good day. But just going in, settling the butterflies and just thinking, you know, like, this is a game that I've been playing since I was 4 years old and nothing's changed, like, just to go in and keep it simple.
I had Coach Candrea on the show about a month ago. He really liked the chemistry of this team. What can you say about it, and how does it feel?
Yeah, the chemistry of this team is great. You know, last year, you know, we had our ups and downs as a team, and it just didn't quite feel as close-knit. But this team that we have and, you know, the camaraderie that we've made is something that I think is unmatched. And it feels a lot like it did 2 years ago, you know, when we had Mo and Thule and all them as our seniors. We kind of tried to go back to that this year, and I think we really have. And, you know, this team is really close, and I'm excited to see how it transpires in the field.
Yeah, no question. Now that I know you're a psychology major, that plays a huge part in success of teams, because if you don't want to go to the field or something happens between the women or the team or the members, whatever, not specific to you guys, but everybody, it's just not enjoyable.
Yeah, it's like coming to the field every day, I think, is something we all enjoy, and we keep it fun and light, and we try not to be so uptight during practice. Like, we make a mistake, like, we're cheering that person on no matter what happens. We know that they got the next one, or a teammate will pick them up, and it's cool to see just how we can do that on the field.
I know I've known Mike for about almost 30 years now. I was with him at the Olympics when he was coaching the Olympic team. And, you know, he could be sometimes uptight a little, you know, he's a coach. but you guys had him dancing not too long ago. How in the world did that happen?
He's told us before, like, he loves this team and he loves where this team is going. And I think the way we keep it light, we can keep him light and he's not as worried and as frantic. So I think it's cool the way he can see us on the field and how we are with each other. He just enjoys it as much as we do.
I do think that he needs to work on that step, though.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit, but, you know, give him some credit for at least trying.
Hey, I understand, because I'm an old dude like him, so I totally get it. So when are you going to get that coach back to the World Series?
You know, we're hoping this is the year. We have all the tools, and I think especially being as close as we are is going to help us a lot. So, you know, seeing how this season goes and seeing the strength of our schedule and how we get through it, I think this I think this would be a pretty special year for us.
Right, right. So, well, maybe lastly for you, I know you probably just go in and, like you said, kind of take it day by day, do these things that'll just make you a better player. Any goals you have numbers-wise? Because you had, what, a few 19 home runs and a lot of RBIs, things like that.
You know, I try, like, that's one of the things I try not to look at. And I'm back in the outfield, so I think I'm just focusing on getting through a healthy season in the outfield and, you know, doing my part on the team as being a hitter and trying to come back and just, you know, just doing what I can for the team no matter what the numbers are.
Great, great. Alyssa, thank you for coming on. We'll be seeing you guys, and I'm sure you guys will be successful. Oh, maybe last question. Yeah. You guys were ranked number 7 in the country. Is that a good number for you?
You know, anything in the top 8, you know, from now, honestly, we can start there, but we finished top 8 at the end of the season. That's what's going to be a big thing for us.
Right.
Doesn't matter where we start, it's how we finish. That's what we say all the time.
Good answer. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for calling in, and good luck. We'll talk to you soon.
Of course.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. That was Alyssa Palomino, one of the stars of this year's softball team. They've had a number of stars throughout the years. I've been watching them since 1988, 87, something like that. And there isn't a year that these girls or women now have done great. I mean, now they just need to get Coach Candrea back to the World Series, where he kind of owned that place for a number of years.
So you've been watching this team since before most of these players' parents were even born.
Well, 30. Oh, well, they were born, but it was like maybe 10 years old. God, that's
how about
that's,
that?
That's not good of you, Bob. You're killing me with my age.
You get that? Their
get
parents
that.
Were in the fourth grade when you started.
Probably, because if these women are about 20 years old, that's not. Oh man, you just depressed me.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Let's talk about marriage.
We're even. Okay,
I'll
get
pick
it.
You up.
I get it. No, hey, they're going to be fantastic to watch.
I saw
a video of their place today. I haven't gone by, driven by yet, but it's about 3 weeks away from being really done, and it looks fantastic. One of the things, or one of the knocks on the program, and I don't know if I believe it or not, because I'm not a big believer in facilities and things like that, but back in the day, Hillenbrand was like the place to play 20-some years ago when they first built it, and now other schools across the country have kind of superseded that and made their stadiums nicer. Mm. So now they figured, well, let's make the Taj Mahal another Taj Mahal. So they had to build. If you don't build, others will, if that's the same. And they've done a pretty good job with this one.
Nice. If you build it, they will come.
They will come. That's what they think. I still believe that if you're playing for a heck of a good coach and you get to play, people will go play there. And Andrea still does a good job with that.
Sure does.
Now he just needs to get them back to the World Series. They haven't been back in more than 8 years, I think it is. So we'll see if they do that. Thanks, Alyssa, for calling in. Thanks to you, Danny Martinez, for allowing her to call in. We'll probably talk to another player a time or two down the road, because they practice and all that during this time, during my show. So we'll see what happens. We got to get you out to one of those games too, Bob. They're fun to watch, and they don't take 20 hours.
How long is a softball game?
At the most 2 hours, at the most. And they go quickly. It's a pitcher's game. Hitters are coming around now. Like Alyssa is one of the stars. She knows how to hit, man. She knows how to hit.
Cool.
If you,
when she bats 595, I figure that's what you're about to say.
That's funny. We should have said, well, you know my producer, Bob, when he was a kid, he batted 595, but she did.
I was the star of my girls' team.
She hit 363, which is pretty good.
Absolutely.
Softball. Yeah, well, potential All-American again. So I'm not too sure how much time we have. 40 minutes? It's 1:40. We could go back to some Sean Miller Live.
Or, you know what, we could take our break and then come back and finish up, Sean.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
I don't know if we'll get the whole thing. We'll get most of it.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, Bob. Let's do that and come back and listen to more Sean.
It's a new year, and you deserve a new career. Radio sales is the answer. We currently have account executive positions open here at The Voice. If you're motivated to get ahead and a self-starter, your future is in radio sales. We offer a guarantee against commission and benefits. Send your resume to careers@bustosmedia.com or call us for a confidential appointment at 790-2440. 790-2440.
I'm Dr. Cecilia Brewington. If you're among the 40% of Americans ages 50 and older who are still not getting tested for colorectal cancer, you're out of excuses. Under the Affordable Care Act, the federal government will now require nearly all private insurance companies to cover virtual colonoscopy and other less invasive tests. More importantly, these tests would be covered with no copay. That means there are now a number of fully covered colorectal cancer screening exams available. Please talk to your doctor to see which of these tests are right for you. Don't be one of the thousands of Americans to die from a largely preventable disease that is nearly always treatable if found early. The best test is the one that you choose to use. There have never been more fully covered options to fit your lifestyle and your schedule. Take action. Get screened for colorectal cancer. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones. For more information on virtual colonoscopy, please visit radiologyinfo.org.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. If you missed my interview with Sheriff Mark Napier, go to our YouTube page. We'll see you on the Wednesday show. Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, Brent Durod from Visit Tucson, and Jerry Cross tells us his deepest, darkest fears. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030, KBOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm the host, Steve Rivera. I think we're going to go back and talk to Sean Miller. A great conversation today at his press conference. Thank you, Bob.
High school seemed to run primarily a 2-3 zone all game. With the guards penetrating the way they did, how can that success carry over when Chase gets back?
Great question. One of the hardest parts to judge offensively, you know, when things don't go well is, you know, was it the execution? Was it the details? Was it just one player, two guys? Is it the group? Is it more of our front court players or more of our guards in terms of things that we need to really look at to improve? And then sometimes, you know, you continue to look at what you do offensively and feel good about it, which is hard to believe because the numbers don't make any sense. But I thought in both games, USC and UCLA, the ball moved. We dribble penetrated. We created good opportunities, whether they were in the middle, at the rim, from the three-point line. There are times when we beat the zone down the court. Getting fouled, you know, being able to get in the bonus and then go to the line and make those. There are a number of really good possessions. And so, you know, I think that's one thing that I feel really good about. The second part of it is as we move the ball, dribble penetrated, played against 80 minutes of a zone like you had mentioned, you know, our turnovers were outstanding. I mean, if you can go on the road in college basketball, play with 10 or fewer, be a single-digit team in 40 minutes, that's very, very good. There are a lot of teams that can't do that. And I think the fact that we were able to do that in L.A., that's one of the strengths of this year's team. We've done, for the most part, a really good job of taking care of the ball. I go back to the Oregon game. That was an outlier. You know, those 14 turnovers killed us. If we would have had that particular game, 9 turnovers for the game instead of 14, we might have won in one of the more uglier, hard-fought battles that we've had at McHale, but we weren't able to do that because our turnovers plagued us on that particular night. But our dribble penetration, our ball movement, being able to get the ball balanced. So, you know, we're not just shooting threes. We're not just shooting twos, but we have good balance. I thought we really had that. And the second part of your question, you know, when Chase does get back to us, you know, I think it'll be seamless to put him in there. You know, he has a very similar role that Ira and Ryan have, and he knows what to do. I think it'll give us a little bit more balance around the rim than maybe we currently have with him.
With everything you're saying, how does facing ASU feel this week? You guys have had good success against them, but, you know,
ASU has a very good team. You know, I thought they had a very good team a year ago as well, and it's different this year. They're deeper. They have more forwards, more length on the court. You know, I think Dort, who's their leading scorer, is one of the best freshmen in our conference, if not the country. He's physical and strong. He reminds me a lot of Raleigh Alkins, the way he's built. And I think for such a young player, he's got a great confidence about him. that can permeate through their roster. You know, Remy Martin gained valuable experience, was a very good freshman on their team last year, and, you know, he's picked right up where he's left off. You know, like Dort, he has a lot of confidence and adds a lot to their team. Playmaking, steals, scores, loves to take big shots. And Zylan Cheatham's been maybe the best addition to maybe any team in our conference. I mean, when you get 20 rebounds or more in a game, that's crazy. That's to his credit. And the fact that he's averaging over 10 rebounds a game on the season, I think, speaks to his talent. And, again, he plays with a big motor. Again, another guy that I think has a lot of confidence. And ASU has a good team, and I feel like they're playing maybe their best overall basketball, certainly the Pac-12 season. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about Bobby Hurley. And just watching how he's invigorated the fan base and what it feels like to play a home game in Wells Fargo Arena versus maybe how it used to. You know, it's night and day, and that's to his credit. Again, they had an outstanding non-conference season, which not only helps themselves, but it helps our conference. And we know that we have our hands full, very similar to going to SC or to UCLA. They have depth. They have talent. And they're playing a home game, you know, so I think that those coveted home games are important for all of us, and no doubt they recognize that.
Do you think there'd be more of a sense of desperation or urgency on both sides, maybe with you guys coming off that weekend and they haven't beat you for a few years now?
You know, I can't speak to that. We have to be ready to play, and, you know, that's our chance to be the best we can be, the best version of the team that we have. To have a number of really good days leading up to the game and be at our best. Other than that, you know, that's sometimes last year's made a little bit too much. I mean, I think you mentioned we lost our top five, really lost our top seven. And so there's seven guys that played in last year's game that aren't here on our team. So it's a brand new season. It's a brand new team, brand new game. And sometimes what happened, you know, a year ago is overblown.
You talked about the job Bobby did. How difficult is it to rebuild a program that before he got there had not been really consistently good for 25 years, I think three tournament bids in 20 years, no tradition? How difficult is that? And does that really speak to the job he's done so far?
Yeah, he's done an outstanding job, really, from the day that he's gotten there. You know, his non-conference scheduling, I think, says a lot about him. You know, it's not easy to play games away from home and on those neutral courts, get involved in these home and away series with, you know, powerhouses like Kansas, and I know he's played Kentucky. And, you know, what it's done is it's given him the opportunity to win and grow and build his program. And then, you know, I think they play an exciting style of basketball as well. And, you know, it's, I think, a job well done. You know, that doesn't mean that we don't like to beat Arizona State. I mean, I know a rivalry when I see one, but, you know, Bobby was a teammate of mine a billion years ago on a Team USA. I've known him for a long, long time and, you know, respect his family a great deal. They kind of grew up the same way that that me and my brother grew up, and he's done a good job. And, you know, I think it's all of our responsibility as coaches sometimes to make sure that we tip our hat to a guy who does a good job. Doesn't mean you don't want to win, but his work speaks for itself.
Go ahead. Those two games last weekend, did you find that it mattered whether you had Dylan or Ira starting at that four there?
No. Yeah, we try to match up accordingly and maybe give ourselves the best chance for the best matchups possible. You know, I don't know, it's 6-1 one way, half a dozen the other sometimes. It's like, you know, splitting hair. I don't know if it's an easy call who to start, who not to.
So if Chase is out Thursday, you could go either way, or do you have a?
I think we could go either way. We're not really there yet. Still have a couple of days left.
What's been Alex Barcelo's role lately? It seems like he's a little more visible on the court.
You know, Alex is one of our team's best shooters. Watch him shoot the ball every day. That's an easy statement for me to make. And, you know, for him to be able to carry that into a game is important for our team. And he's made a couple recently. I think defensively, like a lot of our guys, were really hard at work to make him more comfortable and to make sure that he's on assignment with a number of different players that he's guarding, so that, you know, a made three by him isn't traded off by his defense. But Alex is a tremendous worker, tireless, great teammate, does exactly what we want from him, and you're always going to get maximum effort from him.
When a team plays a zone against you, when do you determine when you want the big to flash to the high post versus the short corner to open penetration?
So we always want to fill those two areas as much as we can, you know, especially the middle. And, you know, there's a fine line between being able to throw the ball to whoever that is in the middle and getting something out of it. You know, sometimes it's a jump shot. You know, sometimes it's a drive. Sometimes it's, you know, pivoting and passing back out to the perimeter. And a lot of times that pass from inside to out, it creates an advantage for whoever receives the pass because, you know, the thing about a zone is, you know, different people are assigned to areas. So, you know, unlike man-to-man, when a small's on a small or a guard's on a guard, you know, you can at times get a big man closing out on a guard. And we have to be able to take advantage of that. But being able to get the ball to the middle and then out creates that opportunity. You know, the second part of it is what you said, and that is, you know, being able to drive it in there, and that's equally good. You know, a drive in there, you can still dump the ball off to one of your bigs, and you can still create that same advantage where drive in, pass out. The recipient of the pass usually has a big man or a forward rotating, and now we have to drive it and take advantage of it. But a number of our best options, whether we made or missed a shot this past week, happened with that kind of inside-out movement. And then it's just up to us to take advantage of it, make the shot, create a good drive, and score the ball.
Are any of the shooting struggles, do they have to do with confidence with any of the players, or is it just a matter of getting the ball and penetrating the zone better and getting better looks?
No, you know, I think confidence is a big part of this, for sure. But, you know, there's, you know, sometimes the shooting is, you know, we're going to have a hot night. You know, I don't know how great of a shooting team we have. We're a better shooting team than we've shown recently. But, you know, at the end, you know, where our numbers will be, we've had some overall better shooting teams than we had this year. You know, last year, among the many things you take for granted, as many great teams as Coach Olson had here at Arizona, and there are so many of them, there was only a handful that shot 50% or higher from the field for a season. It shows you how difficult it is to shoot 50% or better from the field as a team. And last year's team shot 50% or higher on the season. So, you know, coming off a year ago, you know, you forget how easy it was for Dusan to score, DeAndre to score. And we have a number of different guys on the perimeter, Alonzo, right? So, I think going from that to this year, you know, it really feels funny because that would have been the strength of last year's team, field goal percentage.
When you look at your team at this point, do you feel they're an NCAA tournament level team?
No.
Is there anything you can do quickly at least to get to that level, or is that something that's going to have to happen over the next 2 months?
You know, I think what we have to do is we have to focus on being the very best team that we can be and then head into our conference tournament, very similar to a lot of the low major, mid-major leagues, and that is to play our best basketball in Vegas and to win 3 games in 3 days or 4 games in 4 days. And I think that, you know, those 4 byes are big. It doesn't mean that a team who plays on Wednesday, especially this season, can't win the championship. But I think the 3 games in 3 days gives you a better overall opportunity. And being healthy, you know, we can't control that, but hopefully that'll be the place. And playing our best basketball, being as prepared as we can, as confident as we can, and making those 3 or 4 days a magical run. I would think that, you know, every team in our conference, maybe minus 1 or 2, maybe not, would have to think the same way that I'm thinking. That's being realistic.
Is that strange for you to maybe have to rely on the conference tournament after so many years of not having to?
Yes, for sure. You know, when I first got here, which is a long, long time ago, 10 years ago, I didn't think we had a chance, you know, in that first year to make it. And if you really go back through those games, we really rallied to be 16-15. You know, I mean, we really did. We had three or four end-of-the-game buzzer shots, just unreal single-possession games that bounced our way because we could have easily been, I think, 13-17 instead of 16-15, you know, something like that. Then our second year kind of replaced year three. You know, it, in a way, they flip-flopped. You know, in year two, we got to the Elite Eight, and we lost Derek Williams. In year three, it was kind of a continuation of our rebuilding efforts. Then we obviously hit stride, and this year, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I think not being in the neighborhood of make-believe and understanding who we are, where we're at, is very important. And for us, it's so much about improving and being as ready as we can be for Arizona State. You know, things that have happened in the past, that's the past. We have to live in 2018-19.
One more, Coach. All right,
thank you, everyone. Well, there you have it, Sean Miller, unplugged. Very, very honest, very fun. I love it when he's honest like that because you get some great sound bites and you can write a good story about because he's being very honest and very glib about it.
Just, do you think you'll go to the tournament?
No.
And then he just sat there with a smirk.
Yeah. I tweeted that right away. I don't tweet very much, and people who follow me know that. But I tweeted that because it was – he's very serious, obviously, because it's not an NCAA team. And he talked about having to make a run deep into the Pac-12 tournament. He's not alone because other schools like his will have to do the same thing. And he's not – as he said, he's not living in the land of make-believe. How many of us live in that area? Yeah, I try to get my post, my mail there.
That's good. That's funny. That's good.
Funny. That's the first time you've said that. Holy moly.
No. I laugh all the time.
I know. I joke.
I just don't say you're funny.
I joke. My ego doesn't need that. We're going to come back and try to be funny again, try to do it better this next hour. I hope you enjoyed the first round. Welcome back, and we'll hope you come back in the next hour. Thanks so much.